You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org. Man, I want to start tonight with a question. I want to know, who is your go-to in my feels artist? Like, if you're like in your feelings, whether it's like something sad happened, or maybe it's like, man, it's Valentine's and I'm spending it at home alone. What's your go-to in my feels artist? Oh, Paige and Michael, you already got one. Who is it? Your mom's your in your feels artist? No, like, I'm sorry, music artist. Did your mom make music? Yeah. No? Okay, I didn't think so. That'd be kind of cool, though, if she was, like, spin bars or something. Paige? Josiah Queen? Okay. Colin? Huh? Bon Jovi? All right. Lydia? Who? Gracie Abrams? I don't know who that is, I'm being honest. Chris Stapleton? Okay. Ian, did you have one? Or are you just raising your hand up for the... Okay. Oh, I just learned your name. Remind me your name? Huh? Justice. What was it? Mac Miller? Okay. RIP. Luis? Noah Kahn? Okay. Noah Kahn is a new one. What's up? Two in the back? 21 Pilots. Okay. Mia? Your sister? Yeah, your sister does make music, right? I mean, that is true. Well, hey, let me just be honest with you. Don't laugh at me, and also don't condemn me. My go-to in my feels artist is Olivia Rodrigo. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if you expected that. Man, I bust out some sour on a regular basis. Clean version, of course. So, man, the reason I tell you that is I was actually, there was a time recently where I was listening to Olivia Rodrigo. I'll be honest, I just listened to her. I don't just do it because I'm in my feels, but man, if you listen to her, it'll definitely put you in your feels. And so, man, I was listening to her and I was listening to it on radio. And so basically what the radio does is it doesn't just play the artist song, but it plays artist and similar artist songs. And there was a song that came on right after I was listening to one of her songs, and it was called Kaleidoscope. And the thing about what it was talking about is really kind of the tagline of the chorus is, love is a kaleidoscope. And I don't know if you know what a kaleidoscope is, so I actually have a video of a kaleidoscope. This is a kaleidoscope. And so basically, it seems very hypnotic, doesn't it? Basically, what a kaleidoscope is, it's a thing that when you twist it and you look through it, like you look through the lens, and when you twist it, though it's one image, it kind of looks like it's many different images as you continue to twist it, and no image is the same. And basically, it's created by mirrors and how the mirrors kind of reflect. And man, I really think kaleidoscopes are really cool. I really enjoy it. But in the song, they were describing or comparing love as a kaleidoscope. And some of the lyrics are this. I was just like, I know it sounds weird. I promise I'm going somewhere with it. It says this, talking about love, how it works, I'll never know. And even all the change is somehow all the same. Turning to the left and the right and even upside down, it's beautiful somehow. It's never just a shape alone. Love is a kaleidoscope. And so, as everybody does when you're listening to a song, you think about the spiritual influence to it and really the underlining tales of it, right? Like, you think about the deep thoughts behind songs, because songs are not just songs. That's a joke, by the way. I know that probably you're not thinking that, and usually I don't either. But really, what I was seeing is that the deep spiritual meaning, there is a deep spiritual meaning behind these lyrics, and it's that love is complex, right? Like, everybody kind of understands and knows love is complex. I don't know if she was meaning that when she was writing it. She was probably had some other motives. She wasn't thinking like, oh, I bet Christians are really going to hold on to the song and think about how it really relates to their faith, right? I don't know. Maybe she was. I don't know. But, man, as I was thinking about it, I was seeing the beauty behind really what the song was and talking about the complexity of love. And really, we know that love is complex because we know that people are complex, right? And lives are complex. It's not just simple. And sometimes it's really not easy, right? For to experience love or to share love with those around you. But what we're going to see tonight, what we're going to talk about tonight, is that love is for everyone. Love is for everyone. I mean, we've been talking about, if you don't know, if you're new, this is or newer to the series, we've been walking through this idea of for everyone and talking about how there are some attributes or characteristics of God that are for everyone and how we are to kind of embody in that. And so tonight we're going to look how love is for everyone. And I know if I was in your seat, and even as I was preparing this, I was thinking to myself, man, love, saying that love is for everyone, that is so much easier to say than it is to live out. Well, that's so much easier to think or believe than to actually live out. And that's because in a lot of ways, loving somebody is not easy. Loving somebody is not easy to do because obviously, when it comes to loving everyone or sharing or having a spirit of love for somebody, man, that doesn't just mean the people that we really enjoy being around. That doesn't mean just for our friends. That doesn't mean just for our family or for the people that we want to do life with. But that also means, man, if love is for everyone, love is for the person that hurt our feelings. That means love is for the person that maybe stabbed us in the back once or twice. That means love is for the person that really just gets on our nerves. That means love is for the person that has said some really mean things to our face or maybe done some mean things to us. And so though love is for everyone, that does not mean that it is easy. We talked about this a little bit last week, that just because something isn't easy doesn't mean it's optional. Just because love is not easy to have for those who we don't want to give it to doesn't mean that we shouldn't, right? And so the question that comes from that is, okay, well, if we're supposed to love everybody, well, how do we do that? Why should we do that? And I think the answer that we see and what we're going to talk about tonight is that the reason behind loving everyone or love being for everyone is because we should love the way Jesus loves. So it's like, okay, well, if love is for everyone, well, how do I love the people I don't want to love? And it's we love them the way that Jesus loves. And there's a very distinct reason I didn't say loved. It's not a past thing, but Jesus is still loving. That is something that we need to get through us, and it's going to be very core to what we're talking about. This isn't a passing. Jesus is still loving us, and it's because of the love that he has for us and the way that he loves that we are then called to love others in the same way or in a similar manner. So tonight we're going to be in we're going to continue to be in the book of Luke. So if you don't have a Bible, man, we put one under your seat so you have no excuses. No, I'm just kidding. But we do have Bibles under the seat, so I'm going to ask you to grab them. So we're going to be in the book of Luke. As you get there, I would just like to kind of continue to tell you a little bit about the book of Luke. So the book of Luke is written by the man Luke, right? Yeah. It's written by Luke. It was written for a guy named Theophilus. Luke was a early Christian or an early disciple of Jesus. This guy, we don't know much about Theophilus, but basically he wrote this book to him. And in it, his goal was to tell Theophilus and really to tell the world who Jesus is and who Jesus should be to them, right? So we're going to be in Luke 17. If you are new to the Bible, the big number is the chapter, the little numbers are the verses. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 17, verses 11, starting there and continuing on until verse 19. So if you're still struggling to be there, somebody yell out what page it is. 511. So if you are in the Blue Bible, it's going to be on page 511. And again, I'm going to be picking up in verse 11. So read it with me. It says this: On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Pause real quick. In this moment, we see Jesus in it. And really, it's just kind of this throwaway line. It says he's walking between Samaria and Galilee. Now, to us, we're just like, cool, whatever, right? But this is actually a big deal. Really, he is walking through two countries who were adamantly against each other. They hated each other. Galilee hated Samaria, and Samaria hated Galilee. When I think about it in modern terms, I really think of like North Korea and South Korea. Like that's the clash that there was there. And here Jesus is just walking between them. And he is supposedly supposed to be, in everybody's eyes, on Team Galilee, yet he's just kind of walking through and just saying, man, it's not that big of a deal. And so he's walking in the midst of this tension, and he's met by 10 lepers. Man, what leper, the term leper is basically, it's to call somebody a leper is to say they had leprosy. And man, this was a big disease that was going on. And it says that they had to keep their distance. The reason being, in this time, they basically the thought was, man, if a leper touches me, I am unclean. Like, I'm unclean, I'm dirty, and I'm not welcomed back in my home. I have to go and basically purify myself for a number of days, but I can't be around other people because I am now unclean because I was touched. And so these lepers know to keep their distance and stay away. And so, man, think about these people, these 10 guys who have leprosy, and they're being told by their friends, by their family, by the people that they were supposedly in community with. They're being looked in the eye by them and told to get away. They're basically being abandoned and told, man, you are not welcome here. No matter how much I love you, you are not welcome here. And so their plea was they looked to Jesus and they basically said, heal us. Hey, we know that you're healing other people. We've seen what you've already healed other people of. Do that for us. And the story continues, picking up in verse 14. It says, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. So, man, why is Jesus, pause real quick, why is Jesus telling them to go to the priest? It's a weird thing, right? Like, why them? In this day and age, like I said, they were thought to be unclean. And the way somebody was cleansed was to go and show themselves to the priest. The priest was kind of the determiner of if you were clean or unclean. It's kind of like if you're sick, you go to the doctor. Well, then it was, hey, if you are suffering from an ailment, or if you had leprosy or anything like that, you would go to the priest and they would tell you, you are either clean or unclean. And so basically Jesus is saying, go to the people, go to the person who you're to present yourself, because they're going to show you or tell you that you are clean. And it says, as they were going, boom, they were healed. And so when they got to the priest is going to look at them and basically say, you're clean, you're good. We welcome you back into our community. We welcome you back into the life that you were once living before this all happened. And then it continues to say in verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Man, so all 10 are cleansed. All 10 are cleansed, and they're walking back to present themselves to the priest. Yet one person turns and he looks and he realizes, I'm clean. And his instant reaction is to turn back and go to Jesus and fall at his feet and worship him for the act of mercy of healing him. And the text makes a point just to point blank say, this man was a Samaritan. And we kind of talked about this just a moment ago, but this is a big deal, because Jesus is a Jew and here is a Samaritan. Here is this hatred. Here is this distinct factor that is supposed to divide these two people. Yet Jesus looks past it. Jesus looks past it and he heals him. And then he even tells him that you are saved because of your faith. You're saved because you came to me. And in this moment, what we see Jesus doing, we see him truly looking past the descriptors of this person and seeing his heart. This person was an unclean leper from an area that they were supposed to hate. Yet Jesus looks to him, heals him, and then calls him and says, you have been saved. Really, what we also see is, yes, Jesus looking past descriptors, but at the heart of it, we see Jesus loving the unlovable. Man, in everybody else's eyes, and including most likely the disciples and the followers of Jesus or whoever was around Jesus, they would have looked at this man and said, you are unlovable. man, I want nothing to do with you. We are against one another. Yet Jesus looks to him and he doesn't see that. Jesus looks to him. Instead, he sees somebody who is lost that needs saving. He sees somebody that is hurting that needs healing. He sees an unlovable person that needs to be loved. And not just him either. Like, think about this. He was not the only one to be healed, yet none of the other ones returned. Like, think about that. Let me ask you, like, if you were to go, if you had this magical healing power and you healed somebody and yet they just walked away and said nothing of like a thank you to you, then how would you feel? I don't know about you, but like, man, if I hold the door open for somebody and they don't say thank you, I'm a little hurt. And my thought is, next time I'm not holding the door for you. No, I'm just kidding. But no, truly, like, and I get a little offended. And that's so small. Yet here Jesus is, seeing these 10 people come to him, and 9 of them not even praise him for it. Yet the scripture doesn't tell us that they were unclean now. It doesn't say that he spited them for it. And man, the 9 that walked away, he re-gave leprosy. Scripture never says that because that didn't happen. These 9 people still walked away cleansed. Because Jesus' love was not about what somebody could do for them and for him. See, what we know is, yes, Jesus loves the righteous people. Jesus loves those who follow his law. Jesus loves those who obey him. But that's not it. Jesus also loves the complex people. Jesus loves the people that are wishy-washy. Jesus loves the people that are difficult. Jesus loves the people that are unclean, or he loves the people that are sinful. And Jesus also loves the people that are guilt-ridden and eaten by shame of the things that they're doing that they want to stop doing. Jesus loves the people that never stop thinking about themselves and never think about Jesus. Man, he loves them too. And in the end, no matter what descriptor you put of a person, Jesus loves he or she, because Jesus loves all and Jesus loves the unlovable. But that's not like I look at this story and I look at this Jesus healing somebody. And even in this moment, this is not the true picture and the full picture of Jesus' love. What I mean by that is, in other scriptures, we see Jesus' love talked about this way. It says this in John 15, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Romans 5 puts it this way, "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We see that the greatest love you and me could have for anybody is to give your life for them, to literally say, your life is more valuable than my own, and I'm going to give mine up so that you can still have yours. Period. And then we see that this wasn't just something Jesus said, but this is something that he experienced, something that he lived out, that while we, you, me, the person beside you, person at home, the person in your school, the person the person that you see in your neighborhood, your neighbor, the people that are walking their dog in the random moments on the street, the people that you pull up to next to at a light, we are sinners. We have failed. We have messed up. There's something wrong, and we all know it. We can all feel it. And Jesus said, while you are still there, while you are still there, I performed the greatest act of love there is. I died for you. I gave up my life so that you could have it. And listen, this is not just a life or a love that is sitting here for us, but is something that we get to A, experience, but B, we get to share. Man, Jesus never expected us to experience his love and then just to hold on to it and not share it with anybody else. We were never meant to say, Jesus, I know I'm unlovable because I'm a sinner, and man, I've got so much wrong with me, yet you love me, yet my neighbor or my friend that keeps hurting me, or the person that I really don't like, or the person that really annoys me, man, they don't deserve my love, so I'm not going to give it. But thank you for loving me. Hey, thank you for loving me, but no, I'm not going to give it to them. Man, we were meant to love the way Jesus loves us. Man, am I asking you to give up your life for somebody else? No. No, I'm not. Not sitting here saying, hey, you can't live so-and-so can live. But what I'm saying is, man, you can do this on such a smaller scale. Because really what happens in this life-for-life trade is one person deserves one thing, but you're going to step in and you're not going to let them get what they deserve. That's what's happening. And so what you get to do is, man, no matter who somebody is, what they have done, how they act, how they've hurt you or somebody that you love or somebody that you are friends with, you get to say, no matter the fact that you deserve me to hate you, or you deserve me to gossip about you, or you deserve me to treat you poorly, I'm not going to do that. And why? Because we were first loved by Jesus in this exact way. Nobody in this room deserves the love that Jesus gives us. Nobody in this room has ever earned the love that Jesus gives us. In fact, we have earned or deserved the opposite. We are like the 9 beggars or the 9 lepers that walked away. That's most of our stories. Yet in those moments, Jesus still invites us into being loved by him this way, and to loving others by this way. And to kind of bring it back to where we started, I think I have it. Can we pull up the kaleidoscope picture again? Sit up there. Yeah. Man, this is life. This is life. It is complex. The different ways that you look at it, the different ways that it happens, it's complex. It's messy. Man, this is not just life. This is what love looks like in this world. Because we are fallen people. Love is complex. It's never the same. And it's got so much in it. And there's so much worldliness in some of the ways that we love. And there's some people, sometimes love looks like hatred. And maybe if I love somebody too much or in a certain way, it means I have to hate somebody else or treat somebody else poorly. But in this complex life and this complex love that the world is trying to kind of fall us into, and the box that they're trying to put us in, man, the beautiful thing is we are invited to remain consistent. We are invited to remain consistent in the way that we treat others. We're invited to remain consistent in the way that we experience life. We are invited to remain consistent in how we feel and how we act and how we think. And all because we get to live and love the way that Jesus lived and loved. Let me tell you, if you don't know what that is, it is this. Man, something's wrong with this world. Something is wrong with us. Yet Jesus, the Son of God, came and lived the life that we were all supposed to, without sin, without mess up, without scars. And what he did is there had to be a punishment for your sin. And instead of letting you experience that punishment, he took it upon himself and he died. He died a literal death, but he did not stay dead. In fact, he rose from the grave. And what that means is, man, you can rely on it. Means that he is alive. Means that not only did he die for your sins, but he defeated sin. And he defeated death. And what we are offered is to live in this love and to live in this story
and to provide it for others, to share this news with others, but also to live out the same love that he gave to us. Man, as we close right now, man, I want to close with a quote, and I want to close with a question. The quote comes from a pastor named Tyler, and he says this: the most important discovery of your life is the love the Father has for you. The most important discovery in your life is the love that God has for you. And my question is that true of your life? Is that true of you? Would you sit here and say, the most important thing about me is how much God loves me? And if it is, that's awesome. We're about to praise and we're about to worship to finish, and you get to praise and worship openly and emphatically, knowing that that is true of you. If you would say, Nate, that's not true of me, but I want it to be, man, please come talk to me during this time. I would love to talk to you about what that looks like and walk you through how you can experience that and accept that. Let me pray for us. Let's worship.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.